family we have, and it's growing. Yeah. Wink, wink. Oh, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, isn't there? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as Rosemary already shared a little bit, today is the marking of Hanukkah. Now, this is not one of the three feasts of the Lord as laid out in Scripture, but it is a celebration that is kept and honored in Israel and with Jewish families and even Christian believers because of its representation. As you can see here, I have the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick that was in the temple. And it has a base whereby the oil was put in, the pure holy oil of special compound that was burnt on the lampstands before the Lord. But there was a period of time, you know, a couple hundred years before Jesus was on earth. And he kept the festival of Hanukkah, according to John chapter 10, because it was called the Feast of Dedication. It was also known as the Festival of Lights, because it was the miracle of the light from the oil that burned supernaturally. You see, there was the oppression on the Jewish people was so great throughout centuries and centuries from various regimes. But the one that specifically is connected to Hanukkah or Hanukkiah is when the temple was desecrated through Antioch. And he put himself up as a statue of himself, and he burnt pigs. And there was all kinds of evil things going on in the house of God. But the brave Maccabees under Hasmonean, God intervened, because, you know, if it wouldn't have been for that intervention, the Jewish faith and the practice of Judaism and subsequently the birth of our Jesus, who is Jewish, it would have been annihilated. So it was very much an anti-Christ, anti-Jesus thing that was happening. But God intervened, and a priestly family named Hasmoneans, later known as the Maccabees, occupied it and routed them from Jerusalem. So they cleaned them out. But now the time came to rededicate, to purify the temple and give it back to its rightful place to the glory of God. But there was a problem. The only way you could relight the lampstands was to have that pure anointing oil. But they did find enough oil that would burn on the lampstand for one day. But this is the miracle of the lights. This is the miracle of the dedication of Hanukkah, in that this one light was miraculously kept the candles burning for 8 days, because it took 8 days for the preparation of that pure anointing oil that was to be in the lampstand to burn before the Lord. So that's what the feast and the festival of Hanukkah represents. The miracle of lights, the festival of lights, and the festival of rededication. And it's got eight posts. It's flat, you know, and it burns actual oil. Sometimes it's candles, but it's the representation of the light that's the focus. And this one candle, this host candle, who's the captain of the host? Jesus. And this one light, who's the light of the world? Jesus. He's the one that lit each one of these candles day by day. So each day of Hanukkah, the 8 days Jewish people celebrate. It's a time of great feasting. Oh, they love to eat fried foods, fried potatoes, and those donuts, safanich, it's a hard word, but it's filled with, it's deep fried with jelly inside, preferably red jelly. It's so good. And so one by one, you know, and it's just the gift of God, the miracle that took place. Wow, I won't light these because it would be a fire hazard, right? You know, so especially when it got all this oil right by, you know, but one by one. And, you know, and they celebrate, the children play games, and they give, hey, they give gifts. I already got a gift this morning. I thought it was a really neat sign. But I have some gifts. I found these. I forgot I bought these, and I found them. These are Swedish dishcloths. Have nothing to do with, but they're good dishcloths. They're reusable, compostable, and they got the Hanukkah sign. So I'm going to give two presents. Ah, you put your hand up. You love to do dishes. Give it up for Burr. Way to go, Burberry. He's going to do hot dishes on Hanukkah. Hey, Andrew, you're a good household guy. You go. Happy Hanukkah for you. You're very welcome. So, I mean, I wish I had a dishcloth for everyone, but that was the only gifts I could find today. But we have the great gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we have that perpetual oil flowing into our lives. We have the fullness of joy and gladness. We have the purification through the blood of Jesus. And though most Jewish people haven't yet had the veil removed yet, that they recognize Jesus Christ, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, as their Savior. They will. God is in process of bringing them home to Israel, removing the blinders from their eyes, so that they will recognize that Jesus is the light of the world. So that's just in a very short version of Hanukkah. And I'm sure many of you could find other more elaborate teachings and memorabilia and all the kind of things. But the focus is on something our brother just sang about, because when I talked to Jesus yesterday, I said, so I got to give a little presentation tomorrow. What do you want to say? And he said, focus on the rededication. And as our brother stood and sang that song unto the Lord, the song of the Lord, he spoke of the light. He spoke of the rededication of our lives. He spoke of us spending ourselves so on Jesus that there's lots of room for more of him. So that's the perpetual oil is here, but there is fresh oil. The portal was opened with great bounty today. But it's not just here for today, it's for every day. So receive that anointing and posture yourself before Jesus Christ, because this host is also known as the servant. Jesus came as a servant, the king, the servant king, and it's one by one he's lit our lights. And one by one, day by day, we have a fresh fire put within us that burns that oil with fresh passion and hunger. Oh, happy Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. Eat donuts, make fried potatoes, but just enjoy Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And I'm just going to close off this part with two scriptures. From Isaiah 9, verse 2 says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Wow. Jesus, that servant king, is the light of all the world. And Matthew 5:14-16, referring to Jesus. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a candle and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it in its stand. Here it is, burning. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, if we were to turn down all the dim, you know, the lights in the house, I mean, if you could, we can. And for all the kids, just look at this light. That one little candle. Just lights out the whole room. If this room was pitch dark, that one light would brilliantly shine. And who's that light that's in each one of us? And wherever we go out into the darkness of the world, we take that light. We take that glory. We spend them so he can give us more. So I just decree and declare the fresh oil pours out in this house, then each and every one of us, we shine. There's no basket on our lampstands. That Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is shining through us. And we just posture ourselves in rededication to you today. Yes. Jesus, our all in all. Yes. Jesus, our everything. Yes. King of the world. You step down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see.
I think there's a song about that, isn't there?
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of the world, set with you. Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So we dedicate ourselves to you again. We dedicate ourselves to you. We rededicate our lives as we've transitioned over to this new place in burning for Jesus and letting him burn through us. In Jesus' name. Here's the oil.
Had so much meat in the house. Amen. So what I'm going to do quickly is that I'm going to set an outline for us this morning so that we can all participate and go up with some nuggets, but beyond that, but also to be able to become practitioners. Doctors practice medicine. Christians practice their profession as well. Amen. Father, we thank you for this offering this morning. For those of you that still want to do your offering, I just give you time to do that quickly so that we can bless it together. Anyone, you want to do your offering? Hallelujah. There's still time to do so. You can just drop it as I begin to preach and I'll round it up. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter number 5. And we're going to be talking about heroes of this earth and what your commission is all about. Heroes of this earth, break chains and set the captives free. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. Heroes of this earth. And you are heroes. You all are heroes. Don't let anyone tell you that you're just an ordinary person. Because the Bible tells me in Zechariah, is it 13 or 12, 13, that talks about those amongst you that are weak will be like David. Who's David? A warrior. That's what my wife said this morning. We're warriors. We're at war. You better believe it. There's a cosmic war over the destiny of nations. There's a war contending for what is the rightful inheritance of Jesus. The nations of the world. That's why his father is laughing. He's sitting in heaven laughing. Oh, these guys. why are you thinking the way you're thinking? Thinking that what I promised my son, someone's going to take it away and destroy the nations? It's not going to happen. It will not happen. Rulers of this earth, he says, be warned. Kiss the son, lest he be angry. In other words, God is saying, you kings of this earth, you people that we voted into power, acknowledge God. We're not saying give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not looking out for the prime minister of this nation to be born again. If he was born again, it's good. But nobody's going to force him to be born again. No. It has to be from his own will. But God says, whether you give your heart to me, whether you are, but just acknowledge that I am king overall. That's what God is saying. And what he's saying is that simply, he needs to acknowledge the fact that God placed him there. Whoever rules is because God allowed them. Are you hearing me now? God can decide to change the government of a nation without any notice. The hearts of the king is in God's hand. God can change elections and overrule by wooing you to do his will. He didn't, no, watch this. He didn't control your will. He wooed you just as he wooed you to come and know him and give your heart to him. God did not force me against my will, but I literally was overwhelmed with his love. I mean, say, why do you love me? What is going on here? You become a basket case. Why do you so love me? He didn't touch me. He just showed himself a little bit. And I'm overwhelmed already. Oh, I love you. He can do it. He can change. He can change the destiny of a nation in one day. So don't ever think because we voted and you say, well, I think this person, yeah. Now this party came into power. Yeah, because God allowed it. If he doesn't want to allow it, he can change you even when you're a diehard party member. All of a sudden, I don't feel like voting for this person today. I want to vote for this. Why did he do that? You remember the guy that was trying to declare part of this Bible to become hate literature, that we cannot read one portion of the Bible. And he says, I'm going to sponsor a bill in the House. He tried it. They called for recession, recess. Everybody go back home. When we come back, the guy says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to win this. I'm going to pass this bill. Guess what? He never returned back to the House because he stole. And they called, oh yeah, he stole. God, literally, he lost his mind in a split second, and he took a diamond ring at a trade fair, put it in his pocket, walked out, and they went to meet him at security guard took him back and said, sir, we want to search you. A member of parliament was searched. They found a ring of $50,000 in his pocket. That was the end of his career. Folks, be warned, you kings of this earth, kiss the son, lest he be angry. Don't ever talk. See, you can do anything to Christians, persecute them, lock them up, do whatever you want to do. But when you touch this portion of this Bible that has outlived every one of us, you're touching God. He will fight for himself. Don't fight for him. He will fight for himself. Trust me, he will fight for himself. When it comes to the Bible, I won't fight for God because he's going to fight for himself. He will fight for himself. So here is Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Can we put it up? And we are going to have some fun here. Amen and amen. Quickly, Mark chapter 5. You heroes of this earth, break chains and set captives free. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. The taste of the harvest that's upon us is what I want to share with you. And this harvest that's upon us, you are not going to be looking at what is going on because You are going to be looking at the finished product. Don't look at, oh, he's a lunatic, he's in the tomb, he lives there, he never knows anyone, he's tearing himself and cutting himself, and blood is all over the place, this guy is demonized, nobody can go close. God says, don't even look at that. Look with the eye of faith that this harvest is ripe. How many of you, when you plant a wheat and it's just shooting out from the ground and you say that's harvest, that's not harvest. Doesn't look pretty. There's nothing on it. It's just trying to grow. Let it grow and full maturity and you cut it, then you can take the grains. The harvest that's upon us is already ripening. You're all over the place. And you are the answers to those problems around you. Mark chapter 5. Let's read quickly. Look at here the condition of this man, a demonized man, totally demonized, full of demons. Does that sound like what we have today? People are packed with demons. There are even church-going demons. We're going to set some captives free this morning. You're going to walk out of this place and you're going to be free. And it's going to be simple. Foolish way of doing ministry is what we want to do. Some of you think that until we lay hands and kick you and, you know, spit on you, that's when you're set free. There's no hollering. There's no fire, brimstone coming down. There's no signs. And, you know, looking at whether there's smoke coming and then they say, I believe now because God is here. No, God is already here before we came here. We're not just trying to psych him up to say, God, come down. No, he's already here with you because when you got into this place, you carry God with him, with you. Let's look at the condition of this man. Verses 1 to 7. Every one of you, you'll participate. Okay, so look at this man. They arrive on the other side of the lake, at the region of Gerasenes. Jesus stepped ashore. A demon-possessed madman came out of the graveyard and confronted him. The man had been living there among the tombs of the dead, and no one was able to restrain him, not even with chains. Chains cannot even hold this man down. For every time they attempted to chain his hands and feet with shackles, he would snap the chains and break the shackles in pieces. He was so strong that no one had the power to subdue him. I have seen this before. I'm not just talking about what I've not seen before. I've been part of ministry with someone that actually mentored me into deliverance ministry. We see people who take five men, a girl, five men, flung us onto the wall. And we're kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? First time I experienced this, I say, I don't want to get involved in this. The power was so much on this girl. One tiny girl confronted five men who could not hold her down. When she does this, we are pushed to the wall. Day and night, he could be found lurking in the cemetery or in the vicinity, shrieking and mangling himself with stones. When he saw Jesus, now watch this, when he saw the light, that's what we're talking about, the dedication of lights. Hanukkah, light. When this demon-possessed person saw Jesus from a distance, not even near, at a distance, your light will be so seen by demon-possessed people and they will begin to acknowledge it. That's the harvest. He ran to him and threw him. Woo! This demon-possessed person. For years after years, he's been under chain and lock and everything like that. But when he saw the light, the people that sat in darkness saw the great light. There's lots of people in our society today, they are in the dark. They will see this great light. That's why it's important for us to rededicate our lives today. And commission us to go and do the work. Who is so brilliant to put all these messages together? Oh, certainly not me. Because I didn't know nothing. I just said, yesterday night, I was just saying, I don't know how this service is going to go. I don't know. But the worship laid it out. I didn't compare notes with her. I didn't compare notes with Jane. Saw the great light. He ran to him and threw himself down before him, screaming out at the top of his lungs, "Leave me alone, Jesus, Son of the Most High. Swear in God's name that you have not come to torture me." For Jesus had already said to him, "Come out of that man, you demon spirit." Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" See, the encounter here is as simple as come out of him. You don't belong here. So at the end of this message, we are going to get up. We're going to stand up. Whether you know you have demon or no demon, it doesn't matter. We're just going to clean the house. How about that? Chase those church-going demons out of you. Now, it didn't possess your spirit, but it's part of your emotion. When you are twisted out of joint because somebody just said something and you are offended, you walk away, there's demons there that is causing you to be offended so easily. Hello? Deal with it. Some religious spirit, deal with it. Let's deal with it. Most of us have, most of us actually have dealing with the religious spirit. That's the truth. Including yours sincerely here too. Yeah? So we got to cast it out and get free. Amen? So, let's look at the man's condition. Quickly, what is the condition of this man? Anyone? This man has what? What kind of behavior? Antisocial what? Behavior. Okay, tell me other things you know about this man from verses 1 to 7, because we are all together learning. Okay, what do you know about this man's condition? He seems what? Hopeless. He seems so hopeless. And he has an antisocial behavior. There is also what? The possibility of what? Personality change. This guy today is taking stones and cutting himself. Another time he's like making noise. Aah! Maybe he's not all over the place and feces all over the place and anything. He eats and he takes rubs on his face. This guy is just totally demon possessed. What else can you talk about this man? He has what? He has negative energy. Hey, come on. Okay, another one. Rage. Come on. Torment. What? Defensive. Okay, go ahead. Superhuman strength. What about that? He gets there, you hold him up, boom! He breaks off from that chain. Wow. Violent what? Spirit. Violent spirit. Those are the things that actually speak about the condition of this man. I'm telling you, the harvest that we are going to have, you will be amazed at some people that God will take with this kinds of condition and make them in one day become messengers of the gospel. Amen. Will it happen? It will happen. Because if this harvest is not as ripe, I'm not talking about, it's when you talk about harvest. Harvest of evil, we're going to harvest it so much so that we turn them around, maniacs becoming messengers. That's it here. Jesus Christ gave us a taste of what this harvest is going to look like. This is it. So that's the condition of this man. Now let's look at verses. The next will be, let's look at how this man was converted. Verses 8 to 17. The man's conversion. The conversion of this demoniac. Let's look at that quickly. Let's read from verses 8 to 17. Okay. For Jesus had already said to him, "Come out of that man, you demon spirit." Jesus said, verse 9 to him, "What is your name?" Mob answered, "They call me mob. They call me legions. Because there are thousands of us in this body." Whoa! thousands of demons in one person. If you're going to be casting them one by one, you cannot, because you don't even know them all. But the simplicity of the ministry of Jesus Christ, simply come out of here. How many? I don't care how many are there. Millions, come out. Simply, they obey this voice. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through Christ to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me tell you, if a ministry becomes something you are sweating to cast out demons, it's no longer God, because it's just too laborious, just too much of hollering and shouting to cast out demons. You foul demons, come out of him by authority. I'm not saying because of me, I'm saying because of the one that lives in me. If you don't practice that over and over and over again, it will never become permanent. Practice makes permanence. The more you practice just speaking simply to demons, get out of him, I lay hands on the sick, they have to recover, they will recover. In Jesus' name, I command that demon that is bringing infirmity to this body out of this person, be healed now in Jesus' name. Walk away from it. Whether or not they have goosebumps, whether or not they have heat over them, don't even try to find out any sign. Just do it and walk away from it. One day it becomes permanent, and you're going to be walking by, and somebody says, and you look at God, says, go and touch that person. Some of you, God will send you to the mall. I mean, I had some experience where God would send me somewhere. He said, get into your car. I want to take you somewhere. I get to the place, and I don't know what to say. God said, open your mouth. He feels it. Yeah. I'm amazed. I'm saying something. I don't know what to say this. Too late. Open your mouth. Feel it. That's the harvest we're going to be having. Harvest of walking onto powers that be and everything. God says, don't say anything. Just open your mouth when you need to talk. The former premier of our province, when after we had prayed over the province for many years, the leadership said, Femi, okay, you go talk to him. And God says, I want you to talk to him. The leadership were in agreement. I went to meet with him. I had an interview with him. I said, I've come here to just share something. He said, welcome, Pastor. I have about 20 minutes for you. He ended up having 45 minutes of discussion, locked the door and wept and said, why is God after me? I said, because you are a royal diadem in his hand. He wants to use you to change this province. What? Because I didn't even know what to say. I just got there, opened my mouth, and God filled it. And I'm looking at this person who's going to be a premier melt because of the word of God. That's the kind of harvest that we're going to be having. Speak to powers. I'm going to be having a meeting with someone who's in power, in a position of influence this December 1. And I'm not preparing nothing. I'm just going to say, God, I'm going to open my mouth, fill it wide. Because already, just conversation on the telephone made him quickly says, I need to meet with you right away. Someone very influential in this province. Guys, the harvest is here. So, Jesus begged, he begged Jesus repeatedly not to expel them. See, demons begging, please don't expel us. We're not ready. Oh, no, your time is up. How many know when the harvest is here, you got to get the combines going. The combine is already on the move. Oh, I love it. The combines are already at work. So, nearby, there was a large herd of pigs feeding by the hillside. The demons begged him, send us into the pigs. Let us enter them. Don't you imagine they're negotiating their destiny? Wow, demons, they're so bad. So Jesus gave them the permission. He says, and the demons heard, immediately came out of the man and went into the pigs. This caused the herd to rush madly down the steep slope and fall into the lake, drowning about 2,000 pigs. They need a body to exercise themselves. We're not casting out devils so that they can enter other people. We've got to cast them to go and get out. Just get out. I don't care where they go, but don't go into people. Verse 14. Now the herdsmen fled. Look at, when you see that kind of thing, all of a sudden you see 2,000 pigs rush into the lake and perish in the lake. You will be astounded. Say, what is going on? Something unusual is going on. Imagine when you get to the office, you don't even know that that light is shining. You're not trying to say, well, you know, look at my little shine. This little light, oh man, I will make it shine. No, it's not little light. It's not little. All of a sudden, people are coming to you and say, what is going on? I don't know why when I come to your office, I just feel overwhelmed. I don't know why I come to your office, because I know that I can trust you. I can share my heart with you. That's harvest. When your boss talks to you and says, you know what? Anytime you talk to me, there's just something about you. Well, give them the reason of your hope. They just ask you. You didn't try to convert them. You didn't try to preach. They saw the light. The light was enough for you to open your mouth and share. So the herdsmen fled to the nearby village, telling everyone what they saw, and they ran to the countryside, and everyone came out to see what had happened. When they found Jesus, when they found you, a hero of faith, they saw the demonized man sitting there, properly clothed in his mind, in the right mind. Quickly, immediately, seeing what had happened to the man who had thousands of demons, the people were terrified. This harvest is going to terrify some people. They're going to be astounded by the power of God. Those who had witnessed this miracle reported to the news to the people and included what had happened to the pigs. Then they asked Jesus to leave their region. And as Jesus began to get into the boat to depart, the man who had been set free from the demons asked him, watch this. So the conversion, you saw the dramatic conversion. You are going to see dramatic conversion of people, not because you preach the gospel, just because you cast out devils out of them. That's your calling card. Some of you, it's only because you gave a wisdom to solve a problem and say, who are these? They are kingdom solutionists. People will have the answers to what is going on. Never mind what the world is telling you now. Never mind what they're telling you. We're going to kick you out. We're going to get you out from work. You're going to go and do this. Forget it. Some of you are going to have double promotion after you've been sacked from your work. Mark my word. God is going to use that to, you know what? When you take a catapult, you pull it. What do? You put a stone, you put it back. It looks as though it's regressing, but when you leave that sling, boom, it goes further. That's what God wants to do with some of you. Some of you think that you have retired. You will be asked, literally be begged and be given double salary to do that work, because no one is going to take that job again. There's no experience of those people that they're thinking they will get into that job. I'm telling you, God is going to use everything that's come against you in this season to advance you. How about somebody begging you to come and work for them, and you are not determining your salary and your work condition? Payback time. Guess what? The wages of those that have been cheated in the last season is seeking them, is looking for them. I want to go back to people that have been cheated. This wage does not belong to any other person. It belongs to those people that were sacked. Come on, church. Payback time. Dramatic conversion. That conversion is powerful. It was divine. Verses 8 to 10. It was dramatic. Everybody saw the drama that happened. Woo, glory to God. I mean, you are in the office, you cast out devil. All of a sudden, the whole office turned around and said, we want to hear the gospel. And you're going, I'm not supposed to be doing that here. And your boss says, go ahead and do it. You have the word of life. I remember the first convert when I first came to this country teaching. And I was so excited. You know what? Passion is so important. It's contagious. I was passionate teaching class at the university, teaching math. I would just be all over the place, having fun. I didn't know that that was infused to me. I thought I was just so passionate because I love to teach. No. I was so passionate about what I was doing. And over, this girl in my class, she was just ticked off with me. In a good way, though. In a good way. So I said, what is it about this man? One day, she had to confront me. She said, can I talk to you? I said, yes. After the class, yes. So she goes, what is it about you? I said, what do you mean? See, you're too joyful. That's just you're just bouncing all over the place. You're so passionate. I said, yes. I'm not passionate about math. I'm passionate about people, giving them knowledge. She says, can I ask you something? What is it about you? Tell me. I said, you know, this is after the class. I'm not supposed to proselytize in the university. I'm paid to teach. Some of you say, oh, yeah, I can convert everyone. No, no, no. You are paid to teach for those 45, 50 minutes. Teach and don't do anything other than teach. Religion. We make you, yeah, you know, I want to convert them. No, no, they didn't pay you to convert them. You were paid to teach. Religion will say, oh, yeah. Yeah, some religion that come with us from Nigeria is called religious spirit. You want to convert everybody. You want to talk to them about Jesus at the workplace when you are paid to work. And you want to turn your workplace into a prayer meeting. It's ungodly, it's unrighteous. Are you hearing me? Don't do it. You were paid to work for 8 hours. That's what she... So after the class, when she confronted me, I said, you want to know the reason? Christ in me, the hope of glory. That very day, the next day, she came to our house with a boyfriend, speaking to us up until 3 a.m., asking questions in my house. She's a witness. Eventually, nobody told the husband, the boyfriend, and the girlfriend to separate. I didn't tell them that. Some of you say, well, we need the children. They should not be living together. Who made the Holy Ghost? No, really. Who made the Holy Ghost? Who told you to tell them you should not be living in sin? Sinners know they are living in sin. So what's your problem? Show them the love of Christ. That's who you are. And show the love of Christ. That's exactly what happened. So that's the miraculous conversion. It was dramatic. It was divine. Everybody around knew that that was a miracle that happened. It was definite. People in the town knew exactly what happened, and they actually talked about it. It wasn't somebody telling them what happened. No, they saw it. Everyone saw it. And when this guy was converted, he was calm. He had clothes upon him. He controlled his emotion. He was prim and proper. I mean, miraculous conversion. Homeless people will become people that are so empowered in this next harvest that they will turn around one day. And you go, wow, we didn't know that you have so much of skills in you. Wow, thank you, wow. But I just talked to you about the man's condition. I talked to you about his conversion. Let's talk about his commission. God did not leave that person just converted. He says, now, we're going to commission this guy. Well, because he's willing to be commissioned. Watch this quickly. And when Jesus began to depart from the boat, God has just done, just as you have just talked to somebody in the workplace, cast out devils after them. And then when Jesus Christ was about to depart, you were about to depart from your workplace. And the man who had been set free from demons asked him and asked you, can I go with you to your church? You didn't tell them about your church. You didn't tell them where you worship. But they saw something about you. You just cast out devils out of them. You just gave them some wisdom. You just did something miraculous to them. And they said, can I go with you next Sunday when you go to your worship? Hold on to you. We want to go with you. So Jesus was about to depart, and this man said, can I go with you? Jesus answered, no, but said to him, go back to your home and to your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you. God says charity begins from home. Don't follow me quickly. Go and share what just happened to you at home. You need to get your family back to the Lord. They need to see what happened to you, and they cannot deny it. They cannot deny it. That workman or that your boss that you just, you know, it was miraculously converted. You tell the man, you want to come? Don't come alone. Bring your family. Go tell your family first what just happened to you. Can I tell you one thing? When we got married, this woman did not nag me. If she nagged me, maybe I wouldn't have been converted. I would not have known the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe sometime, maybe down the line. Because God is so good. But she never nagged. She just told me, you know, as husband and wife, maybe you should lead, you know, start leading. I said, yeah, you want to make jests of me because you just really want to ridicule me because I don't know how to pray. Really. We were not born again at that time. I said, you know, just want to ridicule me to pray. But how did I know how to pray? That was the only marriage counseling that I held on to. Our marriage counseling was less than 30 minutes. Go figure it out. Yesterday was 39 years of marriage. I don't know how we made it. Grace. It's called grace. The preacher said, that was the only thing I held on to. I said his name, Reverend Alau. He said, listen, if you pray together, it'll be difficult to divorce. Make sure you pray together. That's the only thing I held on to, and I wasn't born again. How do I pray to an unknown God? I don't even know this God you're talking about, but I'm going to pray. I sure will pray to him. She encouraged me to start leading, to pray, and we hardly were born again. I would go to church. I'll buy my newspaper when going to church. Come back. I don't read nothing. I read newspapers. Get into my room and just enjoy newspaper. Fake news. But guess what? Because she did not nag me, she encouraged me. Then she prayed, God, get hold of this man. And God answered her prayer. I was away from home in the field working as a geologist. 6 weeks after I came back, she said, who are you? I don't know you. I was so comforted, so changed, that this woman could not even recognize me again. She said, I'm scared. What is going on here? Who are you? I just became a brand new man. My old life has been nailed to the cross. I saw Jesus and I was changed. Then she's now asking me, what you got? Lay hands on me. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now she set me up for this. Can we clap for Remy? Wives, don't nag. Husbands, don't nag at your wife. I say, are you mother of Jesus, Mary? We can ridicule. Oh yeah, you ridicule. Yeah, I know this. Let her be. Encourage her in our faith. Encourage one another. She encouraged me, and that was why I was radically transformed. And nobody could deny it. She could not deny it. My pastor could not deny it. Everyone around me could not deny it. Because it was miraculous. It was dramatic. That's the harvest that's upon us. So here's the man's commission. The man wishes that he will follow Jesus. He says, no. Don't. But let's look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, Jesus answered no, but he said to him, go back to your home. In other words, become an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Go back home. Talk to your family about what just happened to you. I love it. So the man left and went into the region of Jordan and part of Syria to tell everyone he met about what Jesus has done for him, and all the people marveled. So this man was not only commissioned to go back home to share with his family, he was commissioned beyond that to regions. Beloved, I want you to stand on your feet this morning. My prayers is going to be simple. The same word that is used for wind is the same word that's used for spirit. When I begin to say in Jesus' name, all those demons go, you just need to exhale. You know how you breathe in air? You breathe in air. And how do you breathe out air? We were ministering to somebody. I thought she was pregnant. Right here in Manitoba, we've seen many cases when we go to the camp. Her stomach was distended. We thought she was pregnant. She says, I need some prayer to, I just need to be set free. We knew she was packed with demons. We lay hands upon her. We prayed for her. And suddenly before us, the stomach went down. The whole place was foul. So if you smell anything here, please don't be offended. Because it's going to happen. Are you hearing me? We were in another lake, flying dust. This lady came and said, I just need deliverance. I know I need deliverance. We lay hands upon her. Her stomach went down, proves, and then the whole place was fired. She says, I'm sorry. I said, don't be sorry. Demons just go. Just got free. So if it's becoming dramatic, and some of you, okay, the one time Remy was preaching, not even doing deliverance ministry, this lady fell on the ground and started manifesting like a serpent. Right here in Canada, not in Africa. Don't even look at me and say, it's Africa. No, right here in Canada. Right here in Canada. The girl fell down from the seat, and she was just moving like a snake. Everyone freaked out. The whole place was there. They ran out. What happened? You guys, what are you doing? We didn't do nothing. We didn't touch her. She fell under the power of the word of God. That's the kind of harvest we're looking at. So here we go. If your Christian life is not exciting, it's boring, there's some demons involved. It's your emotion. I'm not talking about this area of your soul, your will, intellect, and your mind. That's where the demons operate most. They hide in your flesh. Okay? Some of you are, you feel like you're too much of a glutton. You just eat. We can cast out that devil, that demon that wants you to be gluttonous. Can do that. So when I begin to pray over you, all you need to do is exhale. That's it. If it's more than that, he's trying to play gimmick. I'm not doing gimmick here. And if you fall and you manifest, don't even look at that person. Leave that person out. We're going to just deal with that demon quickly. Easy. And some of you don't even have to manifest nothing other than you just exhale. When I begin to say, in Jesus' name, that devil, come out, just exhale. That's it. Jesus Christ did the same thing. Come out. Came out. So here we go. If you're harassed with the way you serve the Lord, today you're doing very well. Tomorrow you fall. I don't want to do this, you guys. Your life is miserable as a Christian. We got to set that score today. Why not? Barrenness is a spirit. Infirmity is there's a spirit behind it. Poverty, there's a spirit behind it. Hello? So can we do that this morning? Whatever you are believing God for to be set free, I don't know it all, but you know. Holy Ghost knows. So Father, in Jesus' name this morning, your people are here. Lord, we want this place set free. All the temples here set free from everything that is demonic. I don't care what it is. It could be glutton. It could be infirmity. It could be fear. It could be anxiety. All those demons that is making life difficult. Immorality. I don't care what it is. Pornography. Whatever it is. This morning, in the name of Jesus, be free. You foul demons, go. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Exhale. In Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus' name, all those mind-binding demons, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, go from God's people out in Jesus' name. Everyone here that is tormented, every night you can't go to bed, you're tormented with fear. In Jesus' name, fear, go. That's the spirit of fear, go. That lies of the enemy that has told you that this is coming from your generation, you've been having this kind of symptoms in your body. Some of you are having symptoms of multiple sclerosis. You're having symptoms that is almost ancient, almost through the bloodline. Today, in Jesus' name, you foul demons, go! Spirit of infirmity, go. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Yes. When you find yourself cutting yourself as a little kid, as a young people that are cutting themselves, you become so frustrated, you think that your life is over. That's a tormenting spirit. You tormenting spirit, go! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That spirit that makes you feel that you are inferior to everyone around you, that rejection, that spirit of rejection, go! In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your refreshing right now. Let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, child, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Clap for Jesus this morning. Be filled. Go in His strength. And make Jesus Christ famous in this city. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
And that is important. So we commission you now in the name of Jesus, because God has hidden some of you in obscure places. You are functioning in different assignments for the kingdom of God. Lord, we say this morning, we commission your sons and your daughters as they go into their various assignments. This from now, Lord, they go with the unction of heaven. They walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. They walk in power. They do not walk in fear. We commission them now in the power of the anointing to go and to set the captives free, to walk in wisdom, to speak wisdom to powers in their assignments, in their workplaces, that they are going to walk, Lord, no longer the old ways. It is a new day, a new commissioning for a new era, to bring solutions, to bring ideas. You are the help that is needed in your community. You are the help that is needed in your workplace. So we commission you with the anointing of fire to go and be all that Jesus has called you to be. In Jesus' name, amen.